Would it surprise you to know that of the 40,000 elected parliament members around the world, less than 17% are women? It's true. Even in the United States Congress, less than 18% of the representatives in the House and Senate are women. At the International Women's Democracy Center, we're working with women in countries large and small to change those statistics. IWDC provides women leaders around the world with the tools and skills to engage in local and national politics. To create the better world we all want in this new millennium, we need women's voices to help shape policy, politics, and decision-making. Log on to IWDC.org now and learn more about IWDC's mission and programs and to make a tax-deductible donation. IWDC.org, strengthening and expanding the role of women leaders worldwide. This caring message brought to you by AnythingGoesRadio.com and this station.
Well, hey there, my friends. You're tuned in to Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery, playing whole bunches of jazz, standards, and classic pop, and mixing the music up in a way that I know you can't find too many places on your radio these days. And I'm hoping that the music is doing it for you, because we do put it together with you in mind. And if you spend some time on Facebook, and I know not everyone does, but you'll find some photos of me and Jimmy Webb on my Facebook page. You can go to Anything Goes Radio, and I hope while you're there you'll like me as well. And my personal page is Lise Avery. Or next time you're on the web, please visit the AnythingGoesRadio.com website and sign up for my newsletter so I can keep you apprised of cool contests or other upcoming interviews or when I may be doing a gig somewhere in your hood. But first, let me tell you that the critically acclaimed composer Jimmy Webb has enjoyed more than 40 years of success. He's the only artist to ever receive Grammy Awards for music, lyrics, and orchestration, and we've already heard Jimmy Webb talking about his childhood, his songwriting process, how and why he wrote MacArthur Park, and more. But here's Jimmy talking about pigeonholing in the music business. You had so many hits, especially in the 60s, like By the Time I Get to Phoenix, and which of course was a hit for Glen Campbell, and Up, Up, and Away for the Fifth Dimension, which makes you difficult to categorize as a songwriter. So how do you categorize yourself?
Well, I always tried to be difficult to categorize because I felt that it was certainly in my best interest not to be pigeonholed. Because I think to convey what I'm talking about as briefly as I can, you become a target, you get in the crosshairs. Once you're identified, then you can be shot down. Then you can be dismissed as, oh, he's that guy who writes middle-of-the-road pop hits, and then you're very easily dispensed with. And I think I was uneasy from the very beginning and anxious to present a moving target. I think it was a survival move. But in a secondary way, I think I have a love for a very broad range of musical material. And I've been lucky enough in my life to work in country and folk, in swing and jazz with people like Mr. Frank Sinatra, who was a friend, in country crossover, which I really believe that Glen Campbell pretty much invented. As I said, I love jazz. I worked with Stan Kenton. I worked with Maynard Ferguson. I was very, very close friends with Joni Mitchell and learned a great deal from her about songwriting. And I believe that she had a great influence on me and changed me. And I just feel that for most of my career, I've been able to present a kind of moving target. I'm happy with that. I wouldn't trade my experience for anyone's experience. I've sat and talked with Johnny Mercer. I've talked with Louis Armstrong. Waylon Jennings is a close friend of mine. I've sat with my buddy Michael Douglas and listened to musicals. And people, I'm sure, don't picture Michael Douglas sitting around his apartment listening to musicals, but that's what we used to do. He loved them so much.
So it was a strategic choice and an artistic choice, really.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for saying that perfectly.
Well, thank you for the compliment. With so much success as a songwriter, you wrote so many hits, and I believe you had five top 10 hits within a 20-month period, and you won 8 Grammys in the 60s. What drove you to perform?
Well, again, I would go back to the last subject, which, you know, they have a saying in the academic community, which is that you publish or you perish. There came a certain moment in the songwriting community around about the time that Carole King released her album Tapestry, when anyone who was listening and paying attention knew that there was going to be an evolution of singer-songwriters, that you would either be a part of this or you would fade into a kind of second tier, because artists who performed only other people's material were becoming fewer and fewer. And what we have traditionally called in our business pure songwriters were becoming less and less important as people like the Beatles began to dominate top 40 radio, even though you had your Holland Dozier Hollands, who wrote 15 number one records in a row for the Supremes. I mean, that's a record that will never be broken. And those were pure songwriters writing for performers who didn't write their own material. But it was passing out of fashion. So it became very important to record. And so, you know, a lot of us probably went into the studio and recorded solo albums a little, shall we say, a little bit too soon. You know, maybe we could have practiced a little bit more before, but there seemed to be this kind of urgency to it. Oh, well, you got to get in there. You've got to record your album. You've got to get on the boards as a singer-songwriter before you get labeled as something else and you become irrelevant. So the first chance I had, I recorded a solo album, Words and Music. I actually received a Stereo Reviews Award for Album of the Year for Words and Music. Mm-hmm. I think it sold about 7 copies.
I have one.
And I got on a bus with these 3 buddies of mine who were my band, and headed out for God knows what, but for that experience and for that trial by fire that only comes with just putting yourself out there in a completely untenable situation, which every performer does when they walk on stage. They all walk out scared. I don't care who they are. And somehow or other, they either find themselves on that stage or they don't. Mm-hmm. And I think it took me a long time to find myself, but I'm relatively comfortable on stage at this time.
You're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery, and we're talking to songwriter Jimmy Webb. And we'll have some more from Jimmy in a moment. But first, here's a classic from Glen Campbell.
Galveston, I still hear your sea winds blowing. I still see her dark eyes glowing. She was 21 when I left Galveston. Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. I still see her standing by the water, looking out to sea. And is she waiting there for me on the beach where we used to run? Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying before I dry the tears she's crying, before I watch your seabirds flying in sun at Galveston, at Galveston.
Written by Jimmy Webb, Galveston was a hit for Glen Campbell in 1969 and made it to number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 1 on the country music and easy listening charts. In 2003, Galveston ranked number 8 in CMT's 100 Greatest Songs in Country Music. You're tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery, and after we got to know each other a bit, Jimmy Webb and I began to talk turkey, and he told me about getting sober. And we'll hear that just on the other side of this quick break.